of the Greater Sandpoint Area Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
I am your host. My co-host today is Kate McAllister.
Why are you pausing?
I don't know.
So
I'm trying to be dramatic.
Oh.
I'm trying to practice my
NPR,
you know, NPR voice. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
Executive Director of the Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce.
Yes. Right.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You look good on the radio.
Ah, yes. Much thinner, taller, smarter. It works. Radio works for me.
Yes, yeah.
It really
your
does.
Medium.
Yeah.
Hey, we're bringing our GMLs back, our general membership luncheons.
We are. The 13th, mm-hmm. I am this afternoon learning how to be a Zoom wizard.
Yeah, so you're going to be a...
Right. We can take up to 100, I think.
Our subject matter expert at the chamber on Zoom meetings.
Well, considering there's only two of us, yes. I have to be an expert on something.
Yes. Right? As of this morning, there were 6 people signed up, so there's still plenty of room
right.
to register for the GML. We are capping it at 100. That includes we're bringing back volunteer and business of the month, so I'll right. register those people today. And
I believe we'll hear from Rocky at Lewis and Clark. Mm-hmm. They usually... sponsor one of the luncheons. The good news is that it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be our guests will be Erin Banal from BGH and Catherine Kohlberg from Panhandle Health.
That will be interesting.
So if you have any questions, and they'll bring you up to date. Mm-hmm. Hopefully in September we'll do State of the Cities, so you can get a rundown on everything that's happening in the city. Even though the lunch is free, if you would like to donate to your local Chamber of Commerce, that would be
yes.
a really great idea.
Well, and like Lewis and Clark State College, sponsorships are still available. We'll give you a little shout out at the beginning of the meeting, a couple minutes to talk, kind of like they used to happen in person. So
right.
that will be
Ricky
fun.
And I are thinking about doing commercials for those mm-hmm. of you who want to have your business mentioned. We'll
yeah.
do a little
a fun
commercial.
Little ditty.
Yeah, because we're good at that. Yeah, we had to cancel Beer Fest, which would have been August 22nd, excuse me. We also canceled our Scenic Half Marathon. And so, yeah, we could use a little bit of funds here at yeah. the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
If you're feeling so generous.
You can't tell that she's smiling.
Right.
Her big give us money smile. but yeah, I'm excited to get the virtual GMLs going. I think that yeah. this will be a good way to reach out and have that sense of community that we've been lacking,
hey.
Particularly with us at the chamber. This is what we do, is
right.
Bring the community together. Like we did mention, the Scenic Half Marathon has been canceled for this year. We thought about doing virtual races, but Bloomsday moved their race to the same day as ours, and they're doing theirs virtually. So why sign up for 2 different virtual races?
Right.
And so we decided to postpone until next year. If you had been registered for that, you should have gotten an email from me. We have,
deferred you.
Thank you. Till next year. Beer Fest. This is a thing we're in the planning stages of a new event,
right.
that will take the place of Beer Fest because, our point is that you've sort of gotten, you know, you've not got to experience any of the fun things that you normally get to annually, like the festival at Sandpoint, the Longbridge Swim,
mm-hmm.
Any of the runs, beer fests, wine fests, all of that fun stuff that us Sandpointians live here for in the summer. All
right.
those things that you get to do and participate in. So we're trying to combine everything, get a solid economic driver for our downtown businesses, and also help us here at the Chamber. So stay tuned for that. Will all be announced in our weekly newsletters on Mondays. Mm-hmm. So if you're not subscribing to that and you would like to, you could email me. It's Ricky, RICCI, at sandpointchamber.com, and I can get you signed up to receive our weekly newsletters. They are specifically for chamber members. They're more geared toward chamber news and all of that sort of thing. But obviously, anyone who's interested is welcome to subscribe. It's a lot of good information.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking to today on the show, we're talking to POAC, Ponderay Arts Council, about the up and coming Arts and Crafts Fair. I think it's their 47th year, something crazy
so.
Like that.
Something like that.
Something and then we're
huge.
Catching up on what's happening in and around Sandpoint with the Sandpoint Reader. That'll be fun.
Great.
So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. And thank you for joining the Chamber Chatter Hour on North Idaho's Talk Radio. Remember, you can now live stream us anywhere on NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Wow.
We'll be right back.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Hi, this is Lenny with 7BTV, your local premier Dish authorized retailer. Did you know we also do smart home? With the Dish Hopper 3 and the voice remote with Google Assistant, you can say what you want to watch, control your connected devices, and even see who's at the door without leaving your couch. When you sign up for Dish right now, you'll get a Google Nest Hello video doorbell on us. Yes, you heard that right. Sign up for Dish and get a Google Nest Hello video doorbell on us. No gimmicks, just whole home entertainment, connectivity solutions, and service with a smile. Let us help you experience the saving, security, and convenience of a professionally installed smart home. Visit 7BTV at 105 South 3rd Avenue in Sandpoint or call 208-263-7288 for more details about this exclusive local Dish authorized retailer offer. All offers require credit qualification, a 24-month commitment, and early termination fee with eAutoPay. Offer ends 9/30/20 or while supplies last. Call for details. 208-263-7288.
The historic City of State Line, the gateway to North Idaho, invites you to take it to the line this summer as all businesses are open once again. Take advantage of the low, low Idaho prices on gas and tobacco products at A1 Smoke Shop, Amerimark, Liberty Stop and Go, and Lou's Smoke Shop. There's great food available at Smoke and Mike's, Blue Taco, and Cooper's Express. And the nightlife is buzzing once again at the Saddle Sore Inn, El Patio, Little Italy, Cruisers, Nashville North, and State Line Showgirls. Take it to the line, State Line, Idaho.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
North Idaho's Radio, 1400, 1450 AM and 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the Chamber Chatter Hour. This is Ricky Witte from the Chamber, along with Kate McAllister, and we're talking to Claire from POAC. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What is your, I've never asked you this, what is your title at POAC? What do you do?
I'm the arts coordinator.
Ah.
So I do mostly the visual art.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my favorite part.
Mine too.
Speaking of visual art, how did Art Walk go this year?
Given the circumstances, we had a really nice turnout for the opening receptions, mm-hmm. but it's still going on, and there are people doing it on their own time, and we've sold a decent amount of work for our local artists this year.
Good.
Yeah. I bought a piece.
Did you now?
For my little granddaughter, it's a fox.
So how does this work in Art Walk? When you buy a piece, do you get to take it home, or is it still on display until August 28th?
Most of the time, we try to send it home with you.
Okay. I have it. I was going to say, should I bring it back?
Yes, please.
Sometimes there's not a replacement.
Sure.
But most of the time there is.
Nice.
So,
yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So it is still going on until August 28th, I believe.
Yes.
Where can people find a map? How do you know where to go?
At any of the 34 locations, you'll have a map. You can come down to 110 Main Street, the mm-hmm. POAC office, and pick one up, of course.
It's the Music Conservatory building.
Correct.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that you guys are in one place. It's like a... Like our cultural
Mecca.
Arts center, yes.
Yeah, we like
Real
it there
arts.
A lot. It's been really cool.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you still have a gallery open to the public?
Yes.
Oh, good.
POAC has a gallery in our office, which we recently renovated when everything was closed down. So
nice.
Highly suggest you check that one out. And then we use the Music Conservatory as a gallery as well.
That's
so
smart.
There's lots to see down there.
That's really
nice.
Great.
That's awesome.
So do you guys do anything at the Columbia Bank building anymore?
We do.
Oh, okay.
There's art there as well. And the powerhouse.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Oh, yeah.
So much art in our town. I love it.
We have our lunches at Tango. I would always go up and view
that Columbia Bank building.
Yeah, that Columbia Bank building.
That, not the big one. We can still do the plaza, Columbia Bank plaza.
The old.
The Resource Center.
Yeah. Yes. Panhandle State Building. Yeah.
Yeah. We used to be in there at the chamber for a couple of years. And in fact, when Art Walk was there, there was a collaborative art piece that's a big giant heart, all these pieces of a heart. And when we had some friends from Canada visiting, and they said the chamber should buy that. And I said, well, the chamber's a nonprofit, and that's $1,500. And next thing I know, these Canadians sent a check and said, we want to buy it for you. And so it's in our chamber building out on Fifth Avenue.
Awesome.
We've got to keep the heart. So
that's great.
Yeah. So it was lovely being a recipient of that. And it's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice on our Band-Aid colored walls to have a little bit of art hanging. Yes.
It's called, what is it called?
It's called Fairway Sand.
Fairway Sand. No, it's Band-Aid Beige.
It's not my favorite. It's not my favorite color.
Yes.
But we're here to talk about arts and crafts.
Right, right.
So I guessed it was the 47th year. Is that?
48th.
48th.
Yes.
Wow.
Getting close to 50 years.
Jeez. Just like you, Kate.
Thank you, Ricky. I'll give you a bonus later.
Second year, though, of it being on 2nd Avenue.
Yeah.
That's
2nd and Main.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's backed by popular demand. I hear it was a success last year, at least for, you know, people. It's a much steadier ground to walk on.
It is.
For people with disabilities, it was much more accessible. And then also the vendors really liked it.
Yeah, I think they like being closer to the downtown businesses and just in the core of downtown. I know that the businesses downtown like having it there as well, because it helps everybody that way. So, yeah.
That's always important for us to have events that are also economic drivers for our downtown businesses, support all of our mom and pops. Any new precautions or protocols that you guys are taking this year?
It'll be quite different. No kids booth this year. Hmm. We can't do the face painting things.
Sure.
We just don't think it's a great idea. And our food vendors are limited. We only have a couple food vendors. No general eating area. So we suggest you find a nice piece of grass to eat your lunch on, or a bench or something. And we spaced all the booths at least 5 feet apart. Some will have 10 or more feet between them. And we've got gobs of hand sanitizer and masks for everybody.
Oh, good.
So don't be afraid to ask if you need one.
Awesome.
Wonderful. So how many more vendors this year? Because I know Art in the Green was canceled, and I heard some of those artists were coming up here to participate in our Arts and Crafts Fair.
Yeah, they are. We have a lot more local artists this year participating.
Oh,
people aren't traveling as far this year. Right. Normally they'd be from all over the country, but it's definitely a higher concentration of Idaho artists this year.
So for people who haven't been there before, what sort of things can you expect to see there? Like, what sort of art are we talking about? Is it all paintings? Are there crafts?
There are supposed to be all handmade.
Okay.
So we don't do any direct sale type stuff, but it's jewelry, woodworking, painting, ceramics, yummy food, and like soaps and beauty products and stuff like that as well.
Very nice. That's my favorite memory from the Arts and Crafts Fair. When it was at the beach, growing up as a kid, you're at the beach, you walk through the fair and get an ice cream cone at the end. So that was always my favorite part.
Yes.
Nice. So how many do you have? How many vendors?
We have about 96.
Wow.
Normally, we were shooting for 120.
Right.
But in order to space the map out, we reduced it down a little bit.
So. With the spacing and that many vendors, are you going up Main Street at all, or is it just on 2nd Avenue?
It's Main and 2nd.
Oh, okay.
So it makes it X downtown.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
But
so we'll up near the fountain?
It goes up towards the fountain.
Okay.
And the Music Conservatory kids will be performing around the fountain for us. And they'll be kind of hopping around in town over the weekend.
Yeah. So. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be good. And then this year, too, the Farmers Market, it's normally right there in Farmland Park, but it's going to be in the city parking lot, too. So that will be fun. And I also wanted to just give a heads up to anyone who is planning on attending, who doesn't necessarily live in town and don't know. I just don't drive downtown in the summer. I did the other day, and I actually honked my horn because I was so mad at somebody.
What?
It was very Dot Sandpoint of me, I know. But I would recommend parking. There's the ITD lots up above Fifth Avenue, like near Evans Brothers and Foster's Crossing, yes. or just somewhere in that neighborhood and walking into town rather than driving, just because it will save everyone
And don't try to park at City Beach. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So find a place and walk downtown if you, yeah, because it will be insane.
Yes.
And be careful riding your bike if you're going to ride your bike.
Exactly. So outside of this, do you guys have anything else going on for the year? Are you planning any of your plays or?
All of our performing arts was delayed till 2021.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But we will still be planning our visual arts exhibits for the fall and winter time.
Nice.
So keep an eye out. We're going to do some really fun shows, a show for our artist of the year. And then one that I really would like to see happen is I want to see what everybody made while they were in quarantine. So I'm going to try and put that show together as well.
I like that idea a lot. That'll be fun. That was kind of my first, when I was quarantined for 3 weeks by myself, I just kept trying to cheer myself up by thinking something cool artistically is going to come out of it. Like, how could you not, when I'm all cooped up and going insane, how could something weird not come out of this?
Right. A lot of artists tried a medium they've never tried before, is what they've told me. So I want to see what they can do.
I made candle holders. I glued clay pots together. Does that count?
Yes, it really does.
And I painted a room. Does that count?
Sure.
That's what everybody was doing, I think.
Here's a picture of my room.
That's true.
And it's not Band-Aid beige. Even though I love it.
Let me guess, it's green. So if anyone wanted to know more information about POAC, participate in any of the things, how do we find out more about you?
Artinsandpoint.org is our website, and we post all of our events and updates on our Facebook page as well, POAC Sandpoint. So
nice. Awesome. Artinsandpoint.org.
Yes.
I like
it. I don't think I ever knew that.
I did.
Well, you're much younger.
I know everything.
You're so hip.
Phone number for the office?
208. Mm-hmm. 263-6139.
Perfect. And then also, what are your gallery hours, just in case somebody did want to, can you just pop by still, or is it by appointment?
Right now we're there Monday through Friday.
Okay.
For the arts and crafts fair though, we will have volunteers sitting in the gallery, so it will be open for the weekend this weekend.
And I don't think we even said, when is the arts and crafts fair, what are the hours?
Oh yeah,
speaking of. Very professional here.
The 8th and 9th, Saturday goes from 9 to 5 and Sunday 9 to 4.
Awesome. Plenty of opportunity to go down and check that out. I will know I will be there.
And it looks like the weather is going to be nice, not extremely hot.
Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed. That would be nice.
Yes, it will be great. 80 maybe if we could have.
Perfect.
Yeah, right? Perfect. Yeah, because I know some of us, myself, fair weather friend, if it gets above 85, I'm not going anywhere.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, you're actually a foul weather friend.
Whatever.
Anyway, thank you so much, Claire, for coming on the show today. We are going to take our second break, but don't change that dial because we'll be right back. You're listening to the Chamber Chatter Hour on North Idaho's Talk Radio.
Hi, Jim here from the Pondere Winery. Summer is in full swing in Sandpoint, and we're excited to announce August Wine of the Month, our 2018 Syrah. This beautifully handcrafted wine is made with grapes carefully selected from vineyards in the Yakima Valley and Horsehaven Hills. It's a highly approachable wine and pairs perfectly with many different barbecue options. We're open Tuesday through Sunday, 12 to 8, for wine and dine in or takeout options. Our tasting room is located at 301 Cedar Street in downtown Sandpoint. The Pondere Winery, proudly serving our community for the past 25 years.
Super One Foods in Sandpoint wants you to know they're going to great lengths to keep their customers safe. They've installed acrylic shields in the check lanes and the counters are being continually cleaned. For your added convenience, try their shop online service. Just go to superonefoods.net, place your order, and set the time for pickup. When you arrive, your personal shopper will have your groceries ready for you and bring them out to one of their parking spaces reserved just for online customers. It's that simple. Go to superonefoods.net and shop online today.
The friendly professionals at North Idaho Collision Repair Center, just north of Bonner's Ferry, would like to take a moment today to talk to you about car insurance steering. Let's say that you've been in an accident. Many people assume that one of the first steps in dealing with the aftermath of an accident is to call their insurance company to find out what to do next. Unfortunately, many insurance companies take advantage of their policyholders' trust by engaging in a tactic known as steering. This happens when an insurance provider tries to direct their policyholders or third-party claimants to get their vehicle repaired at a specific body shop. This practice is in violation of U.S. law, and yet is still pervasive throughout the industry. Insurance companies will attempt to send policyholders only to shops on their referral network. Some of these shops have agreed to use aftermarket, imitation, or even junkyard parts to keep the cost down for the insurance companies. If you'd like more information about car insurance steering, please call North Idaho Collision Repair today at 208-267-9995.
Mountain biking is one of the great summer activities in northern Idaho, and it's no secret that the Alpine Shop loves bikes. That's why the Alpine Shop at Schweitzer Mountain is excited to announce they are now offering specialized mountain bike rentals. The Alpine Shop in the Village at Schweitzer is now open Thursday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. with a whole fleet of mountain bike rentals and apparel. So head on up to Schweitzer Mountain Resort this week and experience the excitement of the mountain on a bike from the Alpine Shop.
I'm probably okay to have one more drink before I drive home. I'm probably okay. I open the window to stay alert.
Probably okay. I just popped some gum in my mouth.
Step out of the car, please.
I probably made a mistake.
Probably okay isn't okay when it comes to drinking and driving. If you see a warning sign, stop and call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
97.1 FM, 1400 KSPT, and 1450 KBFI.
Welcome back to the Chamber Chatter Hour. This is Ricky along with Kate. We are here with our fairly new news segment, Who Knows New News Like a Newsman Who's in the Know, with Zach Hagedon from the Sandpoint Reader. We're also joined here by Bob Witte, who
has his mouth
remain silent today. I don't think he's ever seen Zach in the flesh, so he's pretty awestruck, starstruck. So, Zach, how are things at the Reader?
Things are well, Ricky. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We're continuing to navigate the strange COVID-19 waters. So if you tried to come up to the office in the past 5 or 6 months and haven't found us there, it's because we're at home.
It's because you're not there.
Well, yeah, that's why Bob Witte was so surprised to see me, is that I crawled down out of my rafters where I sleep during the day. And
hanging upside down. What?
Came out here to the studio to talk with you.
Well, I feel so honored.
Yeah, only for you.
Aw. So besides sleeping in the rafters all day, are there any interesting news stories happening?
Well, there is an abundance of news. Mm. That's one of our big challenges, is having to work from home so much at the same time as there's so much going on.
Yes.
It's a little bit difficult to cover all that stuff by phone or email, but we're trying to keep on top of it. This week, not to give too much away, mm-hmm. We're working on a story about the library.
Ah.
What's been happening there. You know, there was a protest, I guess, mm-hmm. late last week, mm-hmm. where some folks gathered at the library, East Bonner County Library, to protest the supposed mask policy, mm-hmm. or the supposed constitutionality or legality of that mask policy. Got kind of heated. I don't know if anyone, if your listeners have seen the video or you've seen the video.
Right, I saw it.
Yes.
Kind of making the rounds. And yeah, it was a pretty heated altercation that resulted in the library wanting to kind of have a community meeting about it last Friday, based on, you know, this kind of the backlash to that policy. They decided that they wouldn't do the meeting and instead go back to curbside only. Mm. You can still access all the services
right.
at the library. It's just only going to be offered curbside, as they had been doing sort of in the early days of
right.
our
yes.
stay-at-home mm-hmm. order. Not sure exactly how long that's going to last. We're, you know, working on a story about it, so
mm-hmm. right.
we'll have more details in the paper. So that's kind of our big thing that we're looking at. We're also digging into the Reclaim Idaho Supreme Court
right. decision. I read that. What happened?
Well, you know, we've only received a press release. We haven't really gotten into our full reporting on it yet.
Gotcha.
But what it appears is that the U.S. Supreme Court decided to go against the lower court rulings that Reclaim had received. You know, that said the organization could go forward with their digital signature
sure,
collections.
Right.
The Supreme Court said no, essentially siding with Governor Brad Little and Secretary of State Lawrence Denny, granting them the stay that they'd requested, pending a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal decision and a second Supreme Court review. Mm-hmm. So it's not that they have kind of 86'd the initiative per se. They've just put in place an extension or a stay, so they can't collect signatures. Now, whether or not that's going to create a situation where they don't have enough time to get those signatures after a decision to get the thing on the ballot, I mean, it could effectively have killed it. We don't know.
Do we know how many more signatures they need?
I thought
they were doing pretty good.
They were doing really well. I know that the first day that they opened those that signature gathering effort back up for online, they got something like 3,000 in one day.
Yeah.
So, but are those going to be valid still?
I guess we're waiting to see what happens with this Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision. So it's basically been thrown back up into the air where we thought it had been decided at the lower level. It's now no longer decided. Which is interesting because it's made it through, I think, three or four different levels of the judiciary.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was going to say, that it so quickly went from one to the other. It's like, wow.
That's very surprising.
That's very quick.
Hmm. Yeah. So we're definitely trying to keep an eye on that and sort of get the details as they stand now.
Because we are 51st in the nation for spending in education.
Wow. Very
true.
That's something to be so not proud of.
Well, I guess we'll see what the arguments are as this proceeds through the court system, or continues to proceed through the court system.
Yeah.
We also, of course, this normally would have been the first week of the festival.
Yes.
So we were sitting around in our virtual editorial room over Zoom in our pajamas talking about, you know,
I've seen you in your pajamas. There's still a tie involved.
It's
not too informal.
Yeah, in our house, we call them 8 o'clock pants.
It's my sleeping suit.
Yes.
Complete with the cape, you know, which I wear when I'm hanging in the rafters.
So amazing.
We were just kind of thinking how strange it is that, you know, this time of year, normally we'd be scrambling to print additional papers, to think about how we were going to go distribute in person at the at the series. And just, you know, the reporting that we would have put in. Like, we love covering the festival because we get to talk about all these, you know, musical acts. We get to interview the staff and volunteers. We just get to, you know, experience the whole thing as everyone does, you know. Yes. But we get to kind of, like, dig into it, you know, a little more maybe.
And then photographing the concerts while they're happening, too.
Yeah, getting all-access photo pass. You know, you feel like a big high roller, you know.
That's right.
So kind of feeling a little bereft that we weren't going to be able to do that this year, we decided we were going to put together our dream festival lineups.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So Ben Olson, Lindsay Cabert, and I all kind of put our thinking caps on and thought about what bands or acts would we, like, really just freak out if if they were to perform at the festival. And we put some parameters on ourselves, you know, like you can't resurrect, you know, Jimi Hendrix.
Darn it, I was going to say dead or alive.
Yeah. That was my question, too.
And then, you know, some of us went a little farther afield. I'm such a fuddy-duddy, you know. I was like, well, I'm not going to just say, you know, some famous big band, you know, that would sell out every auditorium in the world. So I tried to be a little more realistic.
What would be possible to actually book at the festival. So coincidentally, Bob Witte, not knowing this, you told me this over the weekend when we were out in the woods. We had no cell reception. I got home last night and Bob Witte texted me, should we do top 10 people we would like to see at the festival someday? And I said, the reader's doing it on Thursday. Let's do it on our top 10 show Wednesday. So we are actually putting our list together for Wednesday's show as well. I think it's a great idea.
It's a fun little exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was nice. I mean, it's not obviously not the same as the full experience, but
You know, it's fun though. Ben had an article, was it 2 weeks ago, where he talked about songs that changed the political environment at the time. And I was reading it at work. I was very busy, obviously, that day. So I was reading it at work and playing the songs as I was reading the article. So I got to sort of listen along. So that is something that you could possibly do while you're reading this reader article. Is
highly recommended.
Yeah, play the musicians along while you're reading it. It's very fun.
Did those songs change your world as you listened to them?
Sure. I liked a lot of them. I did skip the Bob Marley one. He's not my favorite artist. It's very contrary to popular opinion, but
no, it's okay.
I just didn't need to listen to that song again in
That's
my
your
life.
Right, Ricky.
Thank you.
You heard that right. Yeah, we're also trying to find some, I mean, we're working on this. I don't want to preempt too much, but there may be some opportunities for folks in the community to actually help the real festival during this time. So look for more information on that. I really don't, I can't give away anything because I don't know.
Sure.
But I do know that we're hoping to include some information about how the real life festival can be assisted while you read about the fake festivals that we are conjuring.
Yeah. There's so much up in the air about the festival right now that I'm hoping that we'll resurrect it bigger and better than ever.
Yeah.
In future years.
Yeah. Let's hope.
Yeah.
Other things we're looking at in the paper, I don't know if you saw our Mysteries of the Deep.
Mm-hmm.
It's been super fun over the past year to work really closely with the Bonner County History, the museum. They have been just amazing.
Yeah, I love Hannah's articles lately. They've been great.
It's one of my favorite things to read as a history nerd myself.
Yeah. So the story they did on the Shooks, I lived next door to the Shooks, and they were very excited. That was fun. I never knew Dan had always talked about, my dad put the sand in at City Beach, but I didn't know that was real. I just thought it was one of those old man stories.
He was telling you a story.
Yeah. Oh, he actually did that.
That was not fake news.
Not that one thing.
Not that one thing.
Yeah, right. Everything else, but not that one thing.
We can't vouch for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we're going to have part two of our Mysteries of the Deep.
That'll be exciting.
I am very excited to find out what other mysteries there are.
Yeah.
But the first one was really nice. So we'll have that. And then, you know, our usual kind of round of columns and stuff like that.
Interesting. Well, I think this is a good time to take our next break. See if Derek is awake. It's time for another brief break. We will be right back. Thank you for listening to the Chamber Chatter Hour on North Idaho's Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Bruce Vogel, and this is Pet Talk. Summer is upon us, and the children are out of school and enjoying endless summer days with their favorite pets and friends. It's not unusual for our dogs to spend a lot of time in the water over the summer months. Sometimes we will find our pets developing skin problems associated to repeated and prolonged periods of being wet. Sometimes it's just around the neck due to a wet collar. Sometimes it's in hard-to-dry areas. In many cases, it shows up as skin irritations or even infections known as hot spots. It may help to bathe your pet after it swims, or just be sure it's thoroughly dried before it goes to sleep. If problems persist, don't hesitate to call your local veterinarian for help. This has been Pet Talk, and I'm Dr. Bruce Vogel wishing you and your pets a great day.
Sometimes a short playcation is just what the doctor ordered. The Kootenai Casino in beautiful Bonners Ferry is offering an August playcation you just can't miss. Hiking, biking, fishing, and enjoying North Idaho's great outdoors is definitely part of the deal. And we've always offered a casino full of great gaming machines, but now we're also offering August midweek room rates starting at just $79 a night, and weekend room rates starting at just $99 a night. Add our $10 lunch and dinner specials, our $69 micro exfoliation spa special, and our amazing North Idaho outdoor activities, and you've got yourself a winning getaway. Face it, we could all use a fun diversion right now, and an August playcation to the Kootenai Casino in Bonners Ferry isn't just about winning, it's about so much more. To book your August stay, call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY.
What kind of career are you looking for? Do you dream of using your creative talents in the movie business? How about the advertising world? Or would you rather work in fashion? At Academy of Art University, we can help you get the art and design skills and experiences that employers want. Hundreds of top companies in the Bay Area and around the world have hired graduates from the Academy. You'll be trained by professional faculty members that have worked in the industry, so your education is practical and focused on what real-world companies want. You can get your degree at our San Francisco campus or anywhere online. Do what you want to do with your life. Call right now to get more information.
800-811-5321. 800-811-5321. 800-811-5321. That's 800-811-5321. 800-811-5321.
North Idaho's radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
Back to the Chamber Chatter Hour. This is Ricky and Kate with Zach from the Reader.
Hello.
So we were just talking about distribution, getting extra pages in and all that fun stuff for around the festival time. Speaking of distribution, when are you going to start delivering my papers again?
You mean to the chamber?
Yes.
All right.
I mean, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. I just have to go downtown once a week.
Ugh, it's like my own 30 seconds away for
It's like three blocks out of my way.
You young people. It's you youngsters.
I can definitely understand your consternation at having to do my job. We've been playing it by ear. Every week we meet and we talk and try to, like, well, is this the week that we ramp back up? But we have not seen our COVID-19 numbers stabilize.
No.
And we keep thinking that, okay, once we start to see this curve flatten and we feel like we're not, potentially exposing hundreds and hundreds of people on Thursday to whatever we have or exposing ourselves.
Right.
Because we go to a couple hundred locations.
Yeah.
It's an all-day affair.
It's a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's, two or three of you?
Yeah. Well, just really me and Ben.
Right. But, two of you.
Yeah. Right. So just out of curiosity, speaking of the COVID thing, have you talked to Bonner General about how their new setup is working, or is it any? I mean, maybe it's not a big deal, but now they're going through the big building, and
we have that on our list of things to start calling about. We had a piece about that 2 weeks ago, maybe, but it is worth checking back in. And we've been watching what's happening at the hospital.
Yeah,
so
right.
Look for a story on that.
I know for my friend Katie, her office window is facing the new testing facilities, and she said it's just a constant stream of people coming in and out of there.
Yeah, I had a test, but it was several weeks ago, and I didn't even think that I would need to, but it was very interesting because my daughter in Seattle had COVID, and she had the test, and she said, oh, it really hurts. And so I was thinking, oh, no. But then right beside me was a car filled with a family that had, like, a five-year-old and a seven-year-old. And so I watched, and they didn't cry, so I figured I couldn't cry either. I had to be very – and it wasn't that bad. It was no big deal.
I feel like when I got mine done, one, it was the early stages of it. And two, I was very sick at the time. Like, I just instantly got a migraine. It felt like I had, snorted a – nose full of salt water, and I had to lay down for the rest of the day. But I also had not left my house in 2 weeks, and I had to lay down all day anyway because I was very sick. So maybe I'm exaggerating it when I describe the process to people.
I was scared to death. But then it was like, okay, a five-year-old didn't cry. I got this. Yeah. But if they would have cried, all bets are off.
You can do most things five-year-olds could do, Kate.
I know. Well, I'm not as tall, but I try.
I don't know. My five-year-old's way braver than me.
She is very.
She's awesome.
She doesn't know better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm glad that there's a lot of testing going on. That's going to help us, sort of plan for the future, just in general. But for now, the reader's still available.
Where do you have it available?
We go to all the area grocery stores.
Okay. Oh,
so you can always find them there. And Ben, and sometimes me, but mostly Ben, has been being really diligent about restocking the...
Oh, good.
Because typically we wouldn't really restock throughout the week. There's a couple places we might, bring another couple bundles by if they were out. But now it's kind of a rotating system. So trying to keep always some papers, all the different grocery stores.
So north side, you have Yolks. Is there anything on the south side of the Long Bridge?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because they don't count.
Yeah, well, we're always looking to expand. We're talking about trying to get papers back in, Newport area and some of our sister communities. Hmm. So that's hopefully happening soon.
Good.
So here's this is just too funny not to tell. We had a visitor come into the visitor center, and they are purchasing property in Sagal. Mm-hmm. And they were told that it's because it's warmer in Sagal. That's where they should live.
The Sagal banana belt.
I'm like, what? It's what?
I don't know who told them that.
We just said, okay.
I have heard. I have heard some people claim that down in the Bayview area, it is warmer.
Ah, okay.
That's technically Kootenay County.
Sure. Right. I was going to say,
It's not Sagal.
Right. Exactly.
And then there was a great shout out this weekend to the Reader. I was part of the Festival of Bards. It was just 3 one-act plays, and one of the plays were junior high kids that went to, there was only 5 of them that went to this little theater camp. And so it was called the Lake Pondere Pirates. Mm-hmm. And it was really cute because these candidates were in an interview with the captain to become pirates. And the first girl says, "Oh, I learned about it in the Reader that you were looking for pirates." And so I thought, oh, that's so cute that she's looked in the Reader.
That's adorable.
All the pirate news you can use. That's right. Sandpoint Reader, your source for piratical information.
Well, and I even asked the person who was running the camp, the theater camp, I said, "So have you never seen The Hunt for Pondere Paddler?" Mm-mm. And she's like, "Well, no." I said, "There's a trailer on YouTube you should probably go watch."
That is a classic.
It is a classic.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of the Pondere Paddler, I survived an animal attack this weekend. That's not true at all. But we were camping.
Was it Zach's daughter?
And no, it could have been.
It wasn't me either.
Might have been Zach's brother, is our other theory. But my tent was set up directly next to our little kitchen setup table, and there was a camp stove out and all of our food bags underneath it. And around 4 a.m. I heard a rustling and somebody eating all of my cookies that I left out and some of the sausages that were left out and stomping around my tent and breathing like sort of that dog sort of like sniffy breath. And it sounded like a very large animal. And I am certain that it was a bear. Somebody else who happened to be awake maybe had seen a deer in the woods. So it might have been a deer. Still, I'm sticking by the bear story. There was the theory, though, however, because we were camping on the lake, that it was the paddler came up on shore to eat our food.
Yeah.
So that's another
much
good.
Better.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like the next time I tell this story around a campfire, it'll become the paddler legend.
Right.
How I bravely survived this.
But, you know,
he's... Smokies. That's more of a Sasquatch kind of meal.
He's right, got little tiny flippers. I don't know how.
Yeah. So it was either Sasquatch or, like I said, your brother was on the next beach camping and doesn't remember getting back to his tent. So I'm assuming he wouldn't remember eating all of my cookies either. So it very well could have been him. That was one of our theories.
Well, we can have some mysteries of the Green Monarchs article series, and we can
exactly.
use that as one of our mysteries. Who ate Ricky's cookies and sausage?
Right. Oh my gosh, that'd be great. So fantastic.
Yeah, I know. So with ongoing stories, to get back to news, because this is who knows new news, like a newsman who's in the know.
Twice in one show. That was good.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay.
I didn't have to read it that time either. There are some ongoing sort of long-term stories, particularly Lindsay's courtroom dramas that are happening. Is there anything going on with those lately?
Well, it's part of our daily or weekly routine to check in on, you know, what's happening with these various gun lawsuits. We have 2 that are active. And we just kind of keep an eye on the costs of the litigation, any things that might, transpire, any new filings. I've seen news reports that, the city has kind of asked yet again, like, can we just stop this litigation, considering the fact that the festival's not happening this year.
Right.
Making it kind of a moot issue.
Exactly.
For 2020.
Right.
We just monitor that stuff and try to have something at least, every other week that touches on it.
It's difficult without actual trials happening, right?
Yeah. Neither of these cases have really ever gotten going. It's a lot of, filing back and forth, sort of preliminary type decisions, schedule setting.
Sure.
Back in the winter, late fall last year, we thought we were going to get a lot of quick movement on it, but there was, the judge got ill, so they had to push it back. And then some other reason that got pushed back. And then, as we got into 2020 and 2020 happened.
Yeah.
Continues to happen. Some of the COVID-19 stuff sort of like delayed some of these things. So we're just waiting like everybody else to see some concrete movement.
Sure.
One way or the other. So we do have that on our list for this week.
Oh, good.
Lindsay and I will be, of course, delving into it as we do.
Right.
Haven't really got a lot of the hardcore stuff yet. I'm sure there'll be a phone call to City Hall at some point.
Right. Yeah.
Looking for some clarification. So that's definitely one that we have been carrying into 2020. As we predicted, actually, I was looking back at our 2019, end of year.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of doing a a retrospective, we kind of took a risk and said, here's what we think is going to happen in 2020. And looking back on that article, which was only, you know, 6 months ago, has not aged well in some ways. There was nothing in there about global pandemics. So we missed the boat on that one pretty hard.
Yeah.
But, that, you know, continuing to monitor and watch the unfolding of this this gun lawsuit was definitely on our list of things that we would be watching in 2020.
And this is a good lesson. Next go around, when you make your predictions for the next year, think big.
I'm just going to go with, you know, like plagues of locusts.
Yeah. Murder hornets.
Murder hornets.
That already happened.
I know, but they're not here.
Locusts.
Right here. Forget. Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, think laser sharks.
That's,
you know,
first day stuff.
Laser sharks. But it's interesting, though, like we mentioned a moment ago, that the Reclaim Idaho, man, that can go, that's been going through the court quickly. Mm-hmm. And then this is like dead.
Yeah.
It just is moving along at a slug's pace.
Yeah. And it's something I'm curious about also. I know you guys just do a story about the schools reopening?
Yes. That's
too.
Also another thing that is going to come up a lot over the next few weeks. You know, the Lake Pondere School District at their trustee meeting last week, you know, Superintendent Tom Elberson presented kind of the draft plan for the reopening, which in a lot of ways mirrored the state guidance from the State Board of Education with that sort of tiered level of reopening based on the amount of community transmission.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's three levels, right?
At the state guideline had three, and then
they've added an orange
here at
level.
LVOSD added another one.
They're colored.
Yes.
Colored, yeah. It was green.
Like the charter school were just the three levels, but
So yeah, I think it was green, which is no transmission. There was yellow, which is like moderate, and then orange, which was kind of like more than moderate. And then there was red, you know, which is like everybody's going to stay home and we're going to do all this online.
Right.
So that was a draft, you know, that went out last week. And, you know, they're looking for people to give feedback. They've had surveys running for at least a month, more than that even, I think.
Wow.
Just sort of asking student or parents in the district and guardians what they think about, you know, their kids going back to school, at what level they're comfortable. So we're expecting to see a final plan, hopefully by the first week of August.
Right.
And if not the first week, then very near the beginning. Because we're, I mean, school's supposed to start on September 8th.
Exactly.
And that might seem like a fair distance away, but
it's not.
As the husband of a teacher, I can tell you she is very actively planning right now.
Yeah. Well, and August traditionally is the fastest, at least in my brain. August goes by so quickly. And I know that when you open things up like this to public opinion or the parents' opinion, just from my own experience, my sister runs Panhandle Driving School, the finest driving school in Sandpoint. She asked parents when they were able to reopen, how do you feel about mask wearing? What are the protocols that would make you feel safest for your child? And it ran the gamut. There was no one answer for anyone. Everyone has specific needs that they want, and she has to accommodate them all, which I can only imagine in a public school district would be nightmarish.
Well, at the charter school, we decided at masks every level. Level masks or shields 1, 2, and 3. And because we're a school of choice, and you can contact Mary for all this information too, we called all the parents. You know, we have up to 400 kids, and I think other than three, they all agreed to the masks and the shields. And so, yeah, because we, you know, we decided as a board that if we're going to do it, then we wanted to do it all the way. So, and our teachers felt better too, that at every level there's going to be masks or shields so that everybody is protected. But yeah, it's a lot of varying opinions. And so we'll, you know, and I feel bad for the teachers. Listening to some of the teachers, it's, yeah.
Well, speaking of varying opinions, we've discussed where you can find a reader. How do people get a hold of you guys?
They can call us and email us. The emails are easy. It's just our first names at sandpointreader.com.
Perfect.
The office number we check, you know, as often as we can. And I'm forgetting what the number is off the top of my head because I never go to the office anymore.
Right.
So call, email.
It's all in the front cover of the Reader as well. Thank you so much for joining Kate and me today on Chamber Chatter Hour. And thanks again to our guests, Claire, Zach, and Bob Witte. For more information, you can check out our social media pages, Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce on Facebook and at Sandpoint Chamber on Instagram. Thank you very much. We'll be back next month.
K246CU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint, a Blue Sky Broadcasting radio station.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Negotiations continuing today on Capitol Hill over another economic stimulus deal. President Trump at the White House said if the sides don't come together soon, he could get involved.
A lot of people are going to be evicted.